Lacrimata by Storm Constantine. Narrated by a Border Prince. He breathed a steam of stars, each mote of light igniting in his lungs, bringing a hot, sweet taste to his tongue. Space. Time. What are these trifles? Solonitz Di Cavagni, navigator of the Imperial trade ship De Brava, coasted the warp tides of neural ecstasy, oblivious of all save his own blistering responses and the guiding, screaming light of the Astronomicon, the Emperor's own psychic beacon, searing through the heat of chaos. He and the ship were one, a shining world speeding through the warp, his consciousness the benign god that nourished it. Real space drop, -15. Solonitz realigned consciousness. The warp screen on the helm just in front of him was pulsing dully, displaying a convulsion of lesser eddies in the immaterium outside. Nothing too worrying. He glanced upwards through the translucent plasticist of the navigation blister into an aching tumult of colour and optical noise. This was overlapped by his warp sight, courtesy of the third eye, a mutation peculiar to navigators, which transmuted the chaotic fluidium of warp space into recognizable symbols. A phantom of his mother's face gaped inches from the translucent blister, evoking the thought response, "Damn, I forgot the call." He had meant to send a message back to Terra before the jump into warp space. He knew Letitia, his mother, fretted during his absence more than she did for any other member of the family. Out of consideration, he always sent brief communications whenever he remembered. Now some deep shred of guilt within his mind had projected a thought form into the warp, which was currently scratching disconsolately at the ship outside, as if trying to reach him. Real space drop, -10. He felt De Brava stir around him as the automatic real space navigational functions prepared to relieve him from duty. She was a witch queen of the heavens, was Brava. A sleek little strumpet, one of many owned by the affluent Phidias merchant family, who for centuries had enjoyed a lucrative franchise from the Administratum. Solonitz had been working for Clan Phidias for some time now, following injuries incurred during military service. He'd warp-piloted the battlecruiser Vale of Hackett, a crueler, less beautiful lady than De Brava, for three missions before a hideous accident, during what should have been a routine purge of mercantile dissidents, had decimated the crew and left Solonitz little more than a disassembled jumble of bones within a leaking bag of flesh. Mercifully, because of his family's prestige, he'd immediately received the best of medical attention, thorough reconsecration, and a frozen trip home to recuperate. The healing had been a long, wearying process, and his body still creaked with frictions of old pain occasionally. He comforted himself with the thought that one day the Administratum would accept his reapplication for duty, deciding, at last, his faculties were once more sharp and steady enough to entrust with the welfare of a battlecruiser. Solonitz, though, still mourning the thrill of such commissions, also suspected his yearnings to return to the Imperial fleet were slightly insane. He had a cosy niche within the Phidias fleet, and the De Brava was a dream to work with. Over the three ship's time years he'd spent in her company, he had come to appreciate her personality. Her totem was one of recklessness and adventure, perhaps, like himself. She fretted impatiently at being confined to the routine function of cargo carrier. The Phantom of Letitia lost its hold on the slick surface of the blister and was churned into the amorphous boiling that De Brava left in her wake. Solonitz became aware of physical pain. His neck was playing up again. That was another thing he'd meant to do before entering warp space, consult the medic about this problem. It had not been an easy trip at this time all round. He would not be sorry to get home. One more drop, and then... real space drop, -5. Solonitz smiled. The warp portal into real space was a stunner this time. DeBravo was dwarfed by an incredible apparition in the void ahead. Brazen gates, miles high, miles wide, encrusted with elaborate carvings. Giant beasts, their heads invisible in a smoke of stars, blew mammoth horns, as if to bid the ship farewell with a star-shattering fanfare. Solonet shook his head. Was it his own influence, he wondered, or the psychic, fludium-bending whim of another navigator bored after a long stint alone? Perhaps the illusion had been spawned by the creative residue of some dazed Eldar poet who'd once coasted the warp tides, coaxing dreams to reality. Whatever. Someone, somewhere, liked to leave their own signature upon the warp. 3 drops back, he'd cruise the ship through a yearning, fang-toothed mouth, whose gullet delivered him into real space near one of the Ministorum's administrative worlds. Someone with a sense of humour, maybe. The inevitable, and thankfully brief, spasm of nausea vibrated through his flesh as DeBrava left the warp. He couldn't resist glancing over his shoulder as he pulled his bandana back into place over his third eye. There were no mammoth gates closing behind the ship's tail. Of course not. Journey completed, Solonets touched a sequence of protective runes above his control helm, and then lightly laid his fingers against his brow. I thank thee, Lord Emperor, divine father of all that lives, for thy endless love that reacheth out to the corners of forever and carries us all, thy children, in safety, blessings and respect. He rubbed his eyes when the prayer of thanks was recited and began to unstrap himself from the navigator's pod. His neck was singing in agony now. It would have to be seen to before the next warp shift. Whatever protections DeBrava might have, Solonets was always deeply relieved when they dropped back into real space, even if he never consciously admitted it. Sometimes, the things he saw out there were just too tempting. One sleep time, he'd had a nightmare about the Astronomicon suddenly blipping away to nothingness, leaving him alone, without guidance, in a ship screaming blindly into entropy. He'd woken up sweating and pouring the air, his ultimate fear being that his dream self, despite being terrified, had also enjoyed a wild exultation. He had yearned for the final embrace of chaos. If his subconscious toyed with such sentiments in sleep, Solonets was all too aware of how vulnerable he was in the warp. But then, who wasn't? He'd seen the burnouts, shielded by their families, newly released from Ministorum retreats, where the priesthood tried to launder the frazzled brains of those who succumbed. It was a risky business he was involved in. His lifeblood. Solonets descended to the walkway, leading to the camera recreta, rubbing his neck as he walked. It was always the same, this aftermath. Vague depression, insecurity. He knew very well, by the time the next warp shift was due, he'd be aching to ride the stuff of chaos once more. Captain Graian Phidias was giving in to his usual ritual of inspecting the cargo, now they'd dropped back into real space. He was aware that this was a slightly neurotic behaviour. DeBrava herself would know if anything was amiss, but could never talk himself out of doing it. Maybe with time, his concerns would lessen. He was a young man, and the Brava, one of his family's smaller vessels, had not long been entrusted into his care. Like Solonets, he was eager to return home. There'd been a series of mishaps this trip, an unexpected bout of illness amongst the crew, a near miss with a warp storm near the gate to Hovia Nesta. Problems with the consignment of goods on Phaeton South had caused an irritating delay, thus upsetting the receivers on the following drop. Problems, problems. Graian was also concerned about the ship's new astropath, Shivania. This was her first trip out with the DeBrava, her first trip aboard a spacefaring vessel, in fact. She had been assigned to take over from old Bassos, the previous astropath, who'd been with the Phidias family all his working life. Astropaths were essential to communication aboard ship, and Graian felt uneasy about the apparent delicacy of the girl, her strange air of fainness. He had trusted Bassos implicitly, who had been a robust and dependable character. Graham mistrusted Shavina's capabilities, despite the impressive references with which she'd been dispatched from the Scholastica of the Adeptus Astra Telepathica. She seemed little more than a child, although Graham had to admit, however grudgingly, she had a keen mind. If anything, her ability to transmit misgivings were instinctual, but until he could identify some fault or another, he had no proper cause for complaint. As he walked through the cargo hold, Graham unconsciously ran his fingers fondly over the ribs of the vault. Very quickly, the ship had seemed to become part of his soul. He felt her movements and sighs, each creak and moan, as if he made them himself. Her arched vaults, plated in dull black plasteel, were thickly inscribed with protective runes and totems. She was a virtual fortress. As he'd expected, everything was in order. He knew it was apprehension about the next cargo that was making him jittery. Maybe it was an honour that his father trusted him enough to take the job on, but Graham suspected even the most experienced captain would think twice about stowing a consignment of lacrimata on board. Naturally, most of the legends surrounding it would be exaggerated, but unnerved by the mishaps he'd had to deal with already on this trip, Graham fought a superstitious fear that picking up the lacrimata would only precipitate further dangers. Taking one last look around, Graham forced himself to leave the hold and make his way to the Camera Recreta. All Phidias ships had a member of the Ministorum on board, so that cleansing rituals could be performed after each warp shift. As well as being effective in cleaning away any psychic debris, it also boosted the morale of the crew. He met Solinitz in the passageway, two decks up, considering the navigator was looking as fey as Shyvana nowadays. Navigators were all inclined to a pellucid delicacy, but Solinitz's huge, dark eyes were almost feverish. Graham made a small, formal bow which jerked the navigator's mouth into a smile, not entirely devoid of mockery. "Hard time, Cavagni?"
"No."
"You look tired."
"I am tired."
Solinitz had to quell the resentment of the captain's officious manner occasionally. What did he expect? His navigators to come bursting out from the blister, leaping with joy and vitality? Phidias looked offended by his tone, however, so Solinitz smiled to make amends.
"I always look tired after a drop."
"What's wrong with your neck?" Solinitz abruptly dropped his hand.
"Nothing much."
"Well, get it seen to."
Graham attempted what was clearly supposed to be a fatherly smile, but which Solinitz merely interpreted as condescension.
"Well, we mustn't keep Brother Gabrius waiting."
Solinitz shook his head wearily at the captain's retreating back and followed him up to the wreck.
"Patience, patience," he told himself.
Debrava was coasting serenely towards a cool blue gem of a world, which could already be seen through the narrow, arched ports of the wreck. Solinitz could barely concentrate on the words of Brother Gabrius's benedictions, his eyes constantly drifting towards the world they were approaching. He knew Phidias was making a pickup here rather than a delivery, and that it was a cargo the Phidias clan was especially eager to get their hands on. Because of it, everyone had been promised a bonus when they returned home. Solinitz presumed this was to override any misgivings the crew might feel about sharing confined space with lacrimata, a potentially destructive material. Personally, he felt no apprehension. Recorded incidents of fatalities had all derived from negligence, which certainly wasn't one of Phidias's failings. Solinitz never knew whether to respect or be annoyed by the captain's nitpicking. He was not much older than Phidias, yet sometimes Solinitz noticed a jarring immaturity in the captain, which in bitter moments he felt derived from Graham's lack of hardship in life. The captain tried hard to establish comradeship with his navigator, which Solinitz was aware of, but neither of them could ever relax enough for friendship to develop. Solinitz felt it was something to do with his mutation, ignorant of how adept he was at freezing people off. Typically, Graham asked Solinitz if he'd like to accompany him down to the planet's surface. Solinets winced inside as the captain made awkward references to the delights to be found below. Salome Nigra was one of those legendary places of the space lanes, rumoured to be home to a thousand illicit pleasures, all of which were available to discerning travellers for an appropriate fee. Solinets, an unfailing cynic, perhaps a burdensome trait of his kind, knew it was the inhabitants of the planet herself who had engineered and now maintained this reputation. He considered it to be a tourist retreat of the most tawdry kind, and would have preferred to curl into his sleep cell for a well-earned rest, rather than force himself to endure the pandemonium of being shocked and delighted by what they might find below. Phidias, however, insisted the trip would do Solinets good, and even in the face of mordant uninterest, kept on insisting until the navigator gave in. "We can visit our contact, Guido Palama, organize delivery of the cargo, and then the rest of the drop is ours," Graham said with a boyish grin, which Solinets had to admit was almost endearing in its innocence. "If you like, though, as you noticed, I'm in a little pain."
"Your totems look worn, Sol. Perhaps you should have them renewed. I'm sure Gabrius could do that for you before..."
Solinets's hand absently clutched the Navis Nobilitae amulets hanging from his throat. "At the risk of sounding irreverent, it is not a spiritual injury," he said, stemming any sharpness in his voice. An aromatic rub would do the trick. I intend to visit Hermes Foss before the last drop, but it slipped my mind. Relic of old duties, you know." Graham nodded gravely. He barely spoke of Solinets's previous commission, emitting a restraint that made Solinets feel vaguely like a defrocked priest. Often, he wished people would just ask him blatant questions about his past and be humanely curious. Inside, he needed to talk about it, but he suspected old man Phidias had charged everybody with the dire command not to upset him in any way by raking up old hurts. Gomery Phidias was a good friend of Solinets's own father. The commission had been a favour.
"Well," Graham said brightly, rubbing his hands together, "maybe we can find you a sweet young Hetaeria, gifted in the arts of massage. As you know, the city of Assyrian is famed for its therapy shrines. A far more stimulating experience than having old Foss grinding away at your bones, eh, Sol?" He laughed.
Solinets smiled thinly and inclined his head. "As long as we carefully inspect the aromatics before submitting to the treatment, of course." He felt a weak surge of expectation. Perhaps the planetfall wouldn't be as grueling as he'd feared. Several other crew members were gathered in the shuttle, intent on visiting Assyrian, Brother Gabrius amongst them, which caused a certain amount of good-natured mockery. Gabrius settled himself fussily into a seat, pretending to be affronted.
"May your tongues be black," he said, grandly. "All I seek is an assortment of puissant fumes. This you all know, so core away as you like. We'll see the grins wiped from your faces when you're back in the warp, and only my incense keep the effluent of chaos from your sweet, untainted minds."
He wriggled his considerable frame into a comfortable position.
"Come, pilot, let's away. Night spreads her black, feathered fan upon the bosom of Assyrian, and I, for one, want to be on the streets before the essence blenders close."
"Well said, brother,"
Graham agreed.
"Pilot, all are aboard. Activate the elementals of the portals."
The cramped shuttle was filled with the excited atmosphere generated by those who expected to sample exquisite dissipations in the near future. The pilot acknowledged his captain's request with a carefree gesture and made to seal the ports. A sharp cry stayed his hand.
"Hold!"
Someone was scrambling in through the doorway in a flutter of viridian robes. It was the astropath, Shivania.
"Shivania,"
Graham said, unable to control his surprise.
"I really don't think Assyrian is the sort of place..."
"Enough, Captain. I have eyes in the back of my head, if not the front. I'll be safe enough, especially with all these gallants to protect me."
None of the party looked especially flattered by that. Chaperoning a blind girl, not having been on their agenda for the evening. The shuttle fell ominously quiet. Shyvania seemed oblivious of the response, or else ignored it. She found her way to a seat, as nimbly as any sighted person, turning her head back at Graham. She was wearing an embroidered mask over the upper part of her face. The two thread-woven eyes stared at the captain owlishly.
"You're not going to deny me permission, are you, sir?" she asked sweetly.
"Well, we do have business," Garion began, in the voice of someone who was wondering how he could eject the girl without offending her.
"Oh, leave her be," Solonet said. "I'll be glad to offer you my arm, Shyvania." He smiled at the captain.
"What about your neck?"
Graham asked. He looked disappointed, if not mortified. Solonet shrugged. "It can wait. We've all been cooped up for weeks. I, for one, would not deny a person a chance to stretch their legs on solid ground if they desire it."
"I thank you, Navigator, for your courtesy,"
Shyvania said formally. But there was laughter in her voice, mocking laughter. She directed the needle of her attention at the priest.
"Minas Storum duties, planetside, brother."
Gabria shifted uncomfortably.
"Of a kind. Naturally, I would have offered to accompany you, but..."
he began, but Graham silenced his apologies.
"Come, come. The matter is settled. Let's fly."
Assyrium was a remarkable confection of a place. Her streets were paved in pearl marble. Her towers rose, tier upon tier, aflutter with the pennants advertising which services could be found within. Sulky eyes, painted on silk, gazed through laced fingers, the perfumed breezes causing them to ripple as if alive. Graham had already made up his mind he wanted the Navigator with him when he visited the Palama residence, so Shyvania ended up joining them. Rather than use public transport, the captain insisted they walk on foot to admire the city sights. Solonets was disappointed. The main form of conveyance was provided by elegant open carriages drawn by beasts of burden native to the planet, creatures that seemed to be an absurd blend of camel and wild dog. He would have liked to ride in one. Perhaps later he and the astropath could hire one for a while. Shyvania, extending her heightened senses to encompass all they passed, kept up an awed commentary, which Solonets could tell soon began to get on Graham's nerves. Palama House was situated in the heart of the Aromatics District, a sweeping pale leviathan of a residence, with many low, sprawling workshops to the rear. The air was so filled with the reek of perfume blending, Solonet's and Graham's eyes began to water profusely. Shyvania, being blind, did not experience this discomfort. Presenting themselves at the soaring main entrance, its elegance enhanced by its classical simplicity, Graham and his companions were shown by an imperious servant into an understated yet exquisitely furnished salon near the front of the house. Refreshments were brought, pale, fragranced wine, and tender wafers perfumed with local flower essences. Shyvania exclaimed that Salam Nigra must be a world created solely for the pleasure of astropaths.
"The stimulus is for the nose. The nose!" she enthused. "Who needs physical sight in such a place?"
Graham and Solonet, still wiping their eyes with handkerchiefs, were inclined to agree with her. Guido Palama made a grand entrance after a suitable time had elapsed. He was a tall, well-built man, his handsome face set in a perpetual smile. After a short, polite inquiry as to his visitor's journey, health and opinions of the city, he settled immediately to business.
"So," he said, leaning back in his silk-cushioned chair, "you essay an entreaty to the Dark Lady of Nepenthe."
He helped himself to a biscuit, nibbling thoughtfully. Graham and Solonitz had both leaned forward expectantly.
"My family have captured the essence of the mystic flower for centuries," he continued. "Mysteria hypnomorta. A prayer, her name. A prayer," he sighed. "We call her the Lacrimata, the moon skin. The last breath of a favored concubine. Mysteria, dark maid of the hidden caves, fragrant and fragile bloom, whose fleeting kiss is spiritual joy, whose bitter juice is oblivion."
He smiled. The speech was obviously a sales pitch, Solonet's thought. However, the plain truth would be lacking in romance. The palamas grew a rare flower in underground catacombs, whose perfume was highly narcotic, and whose essential oil was a deadly poison if ingested. It could also be sold for ridiculous amounts throughout this corner of the Imperium. Naturally, such an honest description would not have excited Graian's desire for purchase as much, but then, why bother anyway? The Palamas were rigidly discerning about who they dealt with in the world of commerce. The fact that Graian was here at all indicated the sale had already been finalized with the Phidias clan back on Terra. Graian was just a courier. Guido Palama obviously liked to romance his merchandise. Solonets noticed Palama was looking at him keenly.
Natri, you wish to see for yourselves, their host said, with a wider smile.
The catacombs were accessible via a single door in the heart of the Palama workshops. Violet glow strips illuminated the worn stone steps that led downwards into a damp murk. Shivania slipped her arm through Solonet's as they descended.
"Can you smell her?" she whispered.
The navigator could feel her trembling.
"Is this what you came down here for?" he asked in an undertone.
It was possible. Astropaths, being psychic and therefore mystically inclined, would be bound to be interested in the Lacrimata. Shiviana squeezed his arm. She did not answer.
"Here are the beds of the lesser maidens," Palama intoned when they reached the bottom.
Terraces of peaty soil, black as grave dirt, swept away into the dimness, micrid with pale stars, the blooms themselves.
"Mysteria Paula," Palama said. "She is destined for the warm throats of ladies of the grand houses of all the worlds, a decoration merely mimicking the forbidden sensuality of her elder sister."
He plucked a single bloom and prevented it to Shivania.
"For you, my dear, press her well between the pages of your Mia Libra, and she will greet you with a benediction whenever you go to inscribe your meditations."
"Thank you, sir,"
Shivania said. She sniffed the flower cautiously.
Here, Solonets."
He leaned over to sample the perfume. Its first note was bright and fruity, descending for a brief flirtation with the carnal bloom of musk, before rising to a final crescendo of righteous spring flowers.
"Excellent. You will look forward to your inscriptions from now on, I think."
Palama led them further into the breathing dark. Solonets's skin prickled with a weird excitement. He felt as if a thousand sighing creatures of the night were shifting restlessly on black satin couches around him, vampire beauty concealed from sight beneath a venomous mat of narcotic flower flesh.
"And here," Palama whispered, reverently ahead of them, "the boudoir of the lady herself. Have care, my friends. She sleeps and dreams."
Solonets heard Graian gasp. He himself was holding his breath, but not for long. Ahead of them, a gloomy crypt spread into infinity, its tiers snaking between massive columns and arches. Each tier was overflowing, indeed, gravid, cancerous, and alive with the convolutions of shimmering fleshy walls. Bloom upon bloom crawled over their sisters, engulfing, tumbling, sending out whippy suckers festooned with tumescent buds and the perfume. Solonets had to suppress a groan. The sorcerous elixir of it seethed and flexed upon the tongue, the throat, reaching down with limber fingers to the belly and groin. No simple cadence here, but a hectic symphony of aromatic notes. The first was fruity too, but this was the overripe, giddy eruption of autumn in full swell, sweeping lustily down to a dark woodland of musk and sandal spiced with civet and ambergris, rising orgasmically to the exuberant scream of spring, jasmine, asphodel, and creamy rose. Flowers of the flesh. Solonet swallowed thickly, dizzy with the aroma that was playing havoc with his sense of reality. Never mind his more carnal senses. At his side, Shivania was motionless. Her touch had become vague upon his arm. Palama let them all sample the agonizing ecstasy of it for a few moments before clearing his throat and saying,
"Well, I trust you are satisfied, Captain Phidias. Perhaps we can repair to the salon once more to arrange delivery of your consignment."
Rather overcome and silent because of it, Graian, Solonets, and Shivania eventually emerged into the streets once more. Shivania toyed gently with the bloom Palama had given her, settling it safely behind a talismanic pin on her robes. They reached the tourist quarter, almost unaware of how they had got there. Cafes and bars lined the streets that radiated out from the quaint squares, discreet alleys limned with globes of deep red, light leading to areas of more licentious delights. The aroma of cooking food did something to dispel the enchantment of Palama's crypt, and Solonet suggested the three of them choose one of the cafes to sample local cuisine. Shivania agreed enthusiastically, but Graian, looking sheepish, mumbled something about going to find the rest of their party. Solonets, fighting the urge to poke fun and discomfort the captain, merely smiled and told him he and Shivania would meet him back at the spaceport in 3 hours, ship's time. Graian gratefully scuttled off down one of the alleys.
"Are you sure you don't want to go with him?"
Shivania asked, clearly aware of what Graian was looking for.
"I don't mind. I'll be quite happy sitting here alone, really."
"No," Solonets insisted, firmly tucking the girl's hand through his elbow. "Come along. This looks an interesting place. Glazed fowl hanging everywhere. Take a sniff." Shivania laughed delightedly, and they went inside.
"I wish I could see you,"
Shivania said wistfully, as they sat drinking a decent beverage after the meal.
"I mean, really see you. Your aura is handsome, Navigator, and yet,"
she shrugged,
"silly of me. It must be the effect of this little lady here."
She touched the bloom in her robes.
"I suppose I must be ugly to you, blind as a cave bat as I am."
"Shivania, stop. Stop that," Solonet said. "You are a very pretty girl, as you well know, and I am a rather haggard spectre of a man. Drink your dessert."
"You haven't seen me without this,"
she said mournfully, indicating her mask.
"So show me, then."
"You won't scream?"
Solonets laughed. She was joking, of course.
"Only behind my hand. I'm not squeamish, Shivania, really."
Impulsively, she reached up and untied the strings of her mask, lowering it swiftly with an air of challenge. Her eyelids drooped over blind, milky orbs sunk deep into her skull, as if shrunken. Thin, almost pencil-drawn brows shadowed the sockets. It was not gruesome, however, which Solonets knew the girl must be aware of. A test, then. Was she inviting physical response from him?
"Disgusting," he said with a laugh. "Dress yourself at once."
She smiled and replaced the mask.
"I could ask you to remove yours, Navigator, but there'd be little point. Doesn't it itch, having to keep the eye under a band all the time?"
"Not at all."
"Would you be able to see into the warp now, from here, if you removed it and opened the eye?"
"What I would see is the other world of our reality. In a place like this, it might be educational, but rather upsetting, I feel."
"Strange. I wouldn't have thought you'd be so squeamish."
"I'm not. Just careful. So tell me, what was your interest in coming down here? You intended to accompany Phidias to his client all along, of course."
"Your warp sight lends you a sharp perception, Navigator,"
Shivania replied. She was enjoying herself immensely, he could see. She sipped her drink daintily.
"Lacrimato is a legend. I was curious. Also, if the fables surrounding it are true, it possesses innumerable properties which haven't been guessed at yet."
"Really? And which of these legends concerns you?"
Shivania laughed.
"You sound like an inquisitor, Navigator. Aren't I allowed a girlish curiosity?"
"Allowed it, certainly. But I doubt that is your motivation."
She shrugged.
"The interest is casual, really. It was only a rumour. I heard the Lacrimata stimulates psychic sight, far beyond what a humble astropath can imagine."
She shrugged again jerkily.
"However, I've smelled the stuff now, and my inner sight has not improved significantly.
I should hope not, Solonets exclaimed. Whatever properties the perfume has, it is also very dangerous and possibly attractive to hostile forces.
And that, dear Navigator, is probably just as much a fable as any other connected with the Lacrimata. Palama has to sell the stuff, doesn't he? It was all just talk.
Solonets remembered the effect the Lacrimata flowers had had on him and suppressed a judder. He did not share Shivania's apparent skepticism.
Anyway, I'm bored with the subject, she said. I'm more interested in you. How old are your injuries?
What? Shivania smiled slyly.
Oh, come now, Navigator. You should know I see more than others, Lacrimata or not. Your aura has scars. How did you get them and where?
Solonets was impressed. It happened what seems a long time ago, and my name is Solonets, remember? She shrugged.
Well?
By the time he'd finished pouring out his life history to the girl, they had scant minutes to return to the rendezvous point with the others from the Brava. Solonets felt as giddy as an excited boy as they hurried through the streets, purged and renewed. He'd been waiting for someone with whom he could exorcise the past to come into his life, someone free from the drippings of cloying pity. Whoever would have thought this young, quirky girl would be the one? So much for the pleasure vaults of Assyrian. Solonets had no doubt that what he'd experienced by simply talking in the dim-lit cafe far superseded any delights of the flesh Graham and the others had experienced. Of course. She came tapping on his cabin door while he lay restless in his sleep cell, weary to the bone, yet unable to rest. Of course, she came with words of reassurance.
Rest easy, Solonets. I ask no more than this of you.
Of course, it was a lie. And she, live avatar of release, cast a shawl of tawny hair across his breast and stroked his brow, saying,
Look upon me, Navigator, with the eye that sees my soul.
She removed his bandana and kissed the closed lid, bringing a fragrant memory of the Lacrimata to his throat. She was so beautiful, and skilled with such dark voluptuousness that, in the midst of their lovemaking, he did open his eye. Is this woman, he thought, this that I see, pure female, her overlapping currents of spirits, rivaling even the chaos of the warp? He had never thought to do such a thing before. No one had requested it. His eye was a danger as well as an intrigue. A glance could kill. Shivania, in her blindness, was immune, but she cried that she saw the light of him unveiled, his forehead shedding radiance which she claimed shared the same brightness as the Emperor's own beacon. Heresy, maybe.
If we only had a sample of the cargo, she said, close to his ear. Think, Solonets, what ecstasies we could share.
Or what pain, he added. A shiver of presentment summoned a vision of the next warp drop. He, alone, in his pod, with the dark, moving liquid of the Lacrimata in the vaults below, singing its insidious song to the ever-vigilant powers of chaos.
You fear it, Shivania laughed. Ice and the passion of the wounded Navigator.
She stroked the scars on his chest and belly.
I envy you your sight, she said.
Afterwards, she curled into his arms, humming a strange little tune, running her fingers over his smooth white skin, reaching up to wind them in his long, fine hair.
Divine mutant, she said.
Hush, don't say that.
Well, you are, as I am, in truth. Both of us tolerated for our uses. Blessings upon our Imperial Father that we may find solace with each other.
Sometimes, Shivania, I think you say dangerous things. She scorned him gently.
Faithful Navigator, always quick to obey, to bend his back before the whip of Imperial doctrine.
Shivania! He tried to ease himself away from her, suddenly feeling she'd become a twinning, suffocating thing. What are you saying? Listen to yourself.
I've done that for years, she said sharply. always listened to myself, from the day the black ships came and took me from my home.
You are an astropath. Privileged, honoured. Your very soul is bonded with the Emperor, she sneered.
Ha! A bonding that burned away my eyes. Bonding is another word for slavery, is it not?
Solonet shook his head in confusion. I will not argue with you, but when you say these things, remember what your fate could have been.
And you think this is any better?
She sat up, brushing back her hair. Her voice possessed the dry quality of some seasoned, jaded assassin. A woman whose flesh was laced with scars. Solonet reflected how you never came within a whisker of knowing someone until they'd shared your bed.
It is easy for you to be so compliant, she said bitterly. A ship here, a ship there, flitting around, cushioned by the influence of your great family. What am I in comparison? A mere slave, leased out by the Scholastica. I do not choose my commission's navigator. Your life is your own. Mine?
She turned her face towards him, with the white eyes between their slitted lids looking snake-like.
I belong to Phidias and his clan. My freedom aboard this ship is an illusion.
No good can come of this talk, Shyvania. She shrugged.
Whatever. I've offended you, shocked you. For that, I am sorry. I like you, still.
She sighed, her voice taking on a wistful note.
Perhaps it was a mistake to leave ship. I did not want to come back, you know.
Solonets reached to touch her. Forget this. Say nothing else. Come back to me. Reluctantly, she curled against his side.
Sometimes, she said, a great fear comes to me. I feel as if a depthless abyss awaits to open at my feet.
Not for now, Solonets whispered, and held her tight. Captain Phidias supervised the stowing of his cargo, restlessly pacing the cargo vault as members of his crew carefully secured the crates. At Grian's insistence, Brother Gabrius came puffing down the access ramp, clutching a smoking censer of his recently purchased potent Assyrian incense and a handful of newly etched talismans to drape around the cargo.
We cannot be too careful, Grian said. This stuff, for all its value, is a seductive substance. I am concerned what may occur should warp leakage steal its way inside the ship, Gabrius. I want the whole of the Brava consecrated again. Every corner, every duct, every rune re-blessed and anointed. Is this clear?
As the bloom of a nebula, Captain, never fear. Gabrius's unparalleled spirit will quell and subdue any effluvia seeking entrance.
Grian smiled and patted the priest's bulky shoulder.
I knew I could trust you, brother. Now I must hunt down our little communication system and ask her to transmit a message to my father. I intend to ask him to have a banquet ready for my crew, courtesy of Clan Phidias.
Gabrius grinned.
You could breed whole generations of prime beef by the time we get home.
It had not gone unnoticed by Grian that some kind of carnal transaction was taking place between his navigator and his astropath. For some reason, this caused him deep discomfort. Shyvania, he decided, had a streak of insolence inside her. Perhaps it was this that made him distrust her. Sometimes, when he issued a command, he sensed a wry malevolence in her expression. Something about the mouth. It worried him she might alter the sense of his message when she sent them, just out of mischief, to cause him embarrassment and inconvenience. Why should this be? Shyvania may be a laser in comparison with Bassos's steady but small candle flame, but he could not bring himself to have faith in her. He also feared she might be bad for Solonets. After all, who knew what went on in the navigator's head? It was no secret he'd been horrifically wounded and had suffered a serious breakdown afterwards. Gomery had instructed him to treat Solonets with care, look out for him. Grian felt his instincts bridle at the thought of the quick, incomprehensible Shyvania having him in her clutches. He intended to speak severely with his father on return. There was no way he would have that girl on board again. The crew of a ship were an enclosed community, mostly removed from time and space itself. The universe rolled inexorably on without them. It was, therefore, intrinsic to the ship's well-being that the crew resonated harmoniously with each other. One jarring note and the whole delicate structure could fall apart, entirely the kind of occurrence that foul influences from the warp could get a hook into. That possibility alarmed Graham, more than that of engine failure or facing a warp storm. Debravia was his kingdom, and he was sensitive to its ambiances. With this in mind, a few days later, when they were approaching the jump zone into warp space, which would lead them finally back to Earth, Graham accompanied Solonets as he made his way to the blister, covertly assessing him for signs of strain and fatigue.
"Did you get your neck seen to?"
"Huh? Oh, yes. Foss gave me a working over. It's fine now." Graham pulled at his lip, standing on the access ramp and watching Solonets carefully as he shimmied into the confined space of the blister and eased himself into position.
"Sol, can I speak plainly with you?"
Solonets leaned sideways and peered down the ramp. "Is that an order?"
"Sol."
"Sorry. What is it?"
"Shivania."
"Oh." Solonets began fiddling with the controls to the warp screen, his face taking on a mulish expression. Graham fidgeted uncomfortably.
"I have to speak, Sol. As friend and commanding officer, be careful."
Solonets looked at him again, his expression guarded. He wanted to say, "What gives you the right to call yourself my friend?" but vented his annoyance with other words. "I'm not an invalid, Graham. I wish you'd stop treating me like some half-fuddled, incapacitated veteran. Quite frankly, much more of this, and I'll be forced to resign my position. I'm quite over what happened. It has not made me vulnerable. I am an adult, and..."
"All right, all right."
Graham raised his hands placatingly.
"I had to speak. Appreciate my position."
"She knows you don't like her," Solonets said abruptly, once more adjusting his screen. "Now, that can't help the situation, can it?" Graham made a non-committal sound.
"At the risk of a further tongue-lashing, just how serious is this business with you and her?"
"As serious as any relationship for people in our positions can be. We live for the day. I can't see it's any of your business, Graham. Have no worry that it will affect my work, or hers. Now, if I could be allowed to get on with the business of warp flight." Graham shrugged, reached up and slapped Solonets' thigh in an assuaging gesture, before making his way back to the camera operati, where he would catch up with a little paperwork, leaving the Dia Brava in Solonets' care. The interview had not progressed exactly as he'd planned. Solonets sighed and settled back in his chair, blinking up through the blister at the streaming stars. If only Graham could know he too had reservations about Shiviana. Reservations, however, could not compete with the temptation of her body, her sweet soothing of his own. He knew there was an undeniable shred of repulsiveness about her, as compelling as her attractiveness. This, he told himself, was simply because she came out with unwise, heretical statements from time to time. She was young, bitter. With guidance, she was sure to overcome her grievances. That her quick flashes of temperament could presage anything worse than dissatisfaction was unthinkable. She had been trained by the Adeptus Astra Telepathica. Their screening processes for removing tainted material were infallible. It had to be. "It has to be," he said aloud, as he removed his bandana. The warp was quiet beyond the gate. Streams of pure immaterium boiled lazily on either side of the ship, but seemed unlikely to form themselves into maelstrom conditions. The warp screen showed no inconsistencies. Solonets dared to hope this would be an easy journey. A few thought forms flitted in and out of materiality ahead, but they were minor emissions. Solonets recited a prayer to the Emperor to enforce his self-protection and banish all anxieties. It was important to maintain a serene psyche during warp travel. He kissed his totems and fixed his concentration on the journey. A short jump. Debrava never ventured that far from Terra. Solonets began to hum a mantra, improvising the tune. It lifted his spirits, and he drifted into sublime communication with the ship, becoming one with her body, faster than light, faster than thought.
an exultant silver fish upon the bosom of this arcane sea. He breathed an essence of salt and spume, euphoric, riding the wave of the Astronomicon as it pulled him homewards. Salt, sea, dunes, dune flowers, flowers, fruit, musk, sandal, sandal. Solonets gulped and was pulled into a momentary reality. He inhaled. What? By the Emperor's sweet blood, what was this? Lacrimata? Impossible. He consulted the warp screen, his head dizzy with the insidious perfume. The blister was full of it. A pulse glowed on the screen, signifying warp activity. But where? Solonets wondered frantically. Behind us? Before us? Where? So close, so close. He fixed his eye towards the warp. Nothing definite, and yet a suggestion of eminence. The Immaterium was excited. He scanned for chaos emanations. Perhaps something had clung to the ship. The screen seemed poised, waiting to bloom with information, denying him the knowledge. He strained his senses to penetrate the cores as the perfume flowed over him in delicious, wicked waves, perverting the purity of his concentration. His skin prickled with sweat. The cargo. A focus. He must ignore it. Banish it. The scent was an illusion. He must. Solonets. A husky call. As a lance of pain pierced the muscles of his neck, the navigator's head whipped towards the access ramp. The hatch was open, and there, creeping towards him, naked and glowing as a hot flame, was Shiviana, her mouth open, red tongue licking her lips, hair flowing like a cloud, her fingers idly stroking her breast. The perfume assaulted him in waves. He tried to speak. Shiviana laughed and opened her shriveled lids. Had he thought those dead eyes milky? No, they were more than that. Opal, fiery, shifting with 100 colours. Solonets, she said, shaking her head so that her lustrous hair seethed like a nest of furred vipers. Come to me. The essence is my flesh. It gives me sight. I have anointed my eyes. I see so much. I see you, Solonets. No, he said, in a strangled voice. He felt as if the very substance of the Dea Brava was melting before his eyes. All that existed was the pale, shining form of the astropath and the hideous seductions of the warp, waiting to take him in the final, everlasting embrace. No, Solonets. What is this no? We are in our place, are we not? Mutants, we. I can hear my sisters calling, vapours upon the warp tides. All those that die, Solonets, all those that die, you slide this ship upon a torrent of their blood, upon that great eye of yours, and really see. Look at me, touch me, open the blister and take me home. For a few moments, Solonets wondered whether he was hallucinating his own desires. Is this what I want? What I've always wanted? Then, Shiviana reached out a hand to touch him, her fingers flexing, curdled eyes blinking and leaking sluggish tears. She hissed and smiled. I spit your seed into chaos, she cried, and lunged forward to throw herself into the blister upon him. Acting reflexively, Solonets winced back and then, with an extreme spurt of effort and will, pulled himself from his chair and flexed out his legs to kick the accessway shut. He heard an agonized squeal, and an infinity of violent colours smacked against his warp sight, bringing peals of agony, pain he could not have imagined in the worst of nightmares. His body writhed and his stomach convulsed. The surface of the blister was a swarm with foul shapes, all grinning, all scratching at the plasticist, telling him with sickening gestures of all they planned to do with his body when they reached it. Solonets tasted salt, knew he was biting his tongue. He slammed his head against the console, screaming, Vidius! Gabrius! Anyone! But the communication node seemed a million miles away, beyond his reach. Had the ship left its course? His eye was blind to the root, seeing only a tangle of voluptuous shapes that beckoned and tempted, promising eternal pain, eternal ecstasy. He could hear Shiviana scratching at the hatch, her voice a hoarse whisper of desire. "My Lord Emperor," Solonet screamed, "help me! Help me!" And then a pure strain of unadulterated thought forced its way through the melee.
"Take my hand," it said. "I am with you, Navigator. Take my hand."
And he focused on that beam, his consciousness flowing with it, melding with it, following. Although he knew in his heart the Emperor was cocooned within his palace on Terra, his aged, tortured body kept alive by machines, the Navigator's spirit saw a figure walking the Astronomicon's beam as if it was a shining path, leading the Dea Brava away from danger, dismissing the effluvia of the warp with the strength and the grief of its soul. A vision of his faith, maybe. But to Solonet it was the Emperor himself, spirit walking in the void. Some moments later, he came to a kind of reality and realized the fluidium outside was quiescent, the warp screen clear of clots. There was no sound beneath the hatchway, and the fume of Lacrimata had left the blister. He was the Dea Brava, and they swam the wave of the Astronomicon, embraced by the spiritual essence of a thousand martyrs swimming home.
"Did you call me, Solonet?"
Back in real space, Grian Phidias was at the blister even before Solonet had unbuckled his safety harness. "I thought I heard you call, but the ship's mind told me otherwise. Even so, I thought I'd better check. Are you all right?" Solonet looked terrible, his white face slick with sweat, dark shadows around his eyes. He had not even replaced his bandana, just hanging there in his chair like a corpse, or someone drugged. The mutant eye staring dully at the warp screen. Averting his gaze, Graham squeezed into the blister alongside him and gently tied the bandana back in place.
"What happened?" he asked. "Sol."
He gave the Navigator a shake. Solonet shuddered, jerked and then gulped air. Ship's air. Faintly metallic. Rubbery sweat and, thankfully, free of perfume. He sighed and momentarily leaned against the captain. The instant was of silence, suspended heartbeats. Then he pulled away. "Many die to keep the Astronomicon alive, don't they?" he said.
"Not unwillingly, you know that."
Phidias had a horrible dread. Solonet had suffered a further breakdown.
"What?"
Solonet shook his head quickly to silence him. "No, the cargo. It has been tampered with."
"What?
Impossible. I would have been informed."
"Nevertheless, what I say is true.
It was protected."
Solonet looked at him bleakly.
"Yes, undoubtedly, as I am. Always. Believe me, Graham, I am not mistaken."
Phidias rubbed his face uncomfortably.
"You are ill, Solonet. Get yourself out of here. I'll take you to Foss."
Solonet leaned back in his chair. Man uttered a low, bitter laugh.
"Ill, am I?
Take me somewhere where I can talk to you, Grian Phidias. Play the part of being the good friend you always profess to be. I have a favour to ask of you."
She was in her cabin, dressed in her finest robes, brushing out her hair. She wore her mask, her eyes unseeing, staring into nothing.
"I thought you would come," she said, laying down her brush.
Solonet didn't comment. "I have something for you," he said.
"A gift. It is the best I can give you under the circumstances, Shiviana. I know you will understand and use it wisely."
She accepted the gift, closing her fingers over the small crystal bottle. Her laugh was shaky.
"Well, Solonet, there goes your bonus, I suspect. Such generosity."
"Not generosity, Shiviana. I loved you in a way. It is a compassion. Merely that. A report will be made to the Scholastica when we return. You know what the verdict will be, and its consequences. You are tainted. You must know that. You complained before about your lack of freedom. Well, if you reach Terra, your life aboard this ship will seem like paradise. They will send you to feed the Emperor's soul. Because of what we shared, I want to spare you that. Thank me. I grant you your dearest wish, a full draught of the Maiden of Oblivion. If you are lucky, for a moment, you'll have the sight you craved."
He left immediately, and for a while, Shiviana sat motionless, the bottle held in her lap. She could not cry, no matter how much she yearned for that release. Her lips shook around the shape of his name. He'd possessed a strength she had not anticipated. To her, a hideous strength. Then she opened the bottle. A languorous, sensuous aroma flooded her cabin, sweet with desire, poignant with loss. Its crescendo was the last damp fires of autumn, before the winter comes, when all is burnt. The rubbish from the fields, the dead wood. She smelled dark earth and sensed a welcoming, somewhere. With shaking hands, she tipped a little of the essence onto a single finger and anointed her throat. Moonskin. Lacrimata. Lady of Tears. Dark Sister. Not for the weak, oh no. As the siren scent rose around her in a final, embracing cloud, Shiviana tilted back her lovely head on her perfect neck and tipped the contents of the bottle down her throat. For a few fiery seconds, her body sang a manic dance of unendurable beauty and passion, but for a few seconds only. It was a swift death.
"I know it was hard for you," Gabria said. "But you acted in the noblest way, Solonets."
The priest fondly patted the navigator's shoulder. They were sitting in his chapel vault, beneath the light of benediction. It had been a default confession.
"Come now, lift your head, young man. Phidias is pacing outside like a brooding leopard. Don't give him cause for concern. Be strong."
"Why, though?" Solonets asked helplessly. "Why her? She was so..."
"Tainted," Gabrius interrupted sharply. "Believe it, Solonets, the Lacrimata was merely a catalyst, and a lucky one in the event. Worse could have occurred if you think about it. You bested the powers of chaos in your own way. No trivial feat, I assure you. No system is infallible. There will always be mistakes. The Adeptus Astra are thorough, but their dominion is vast. Because of this, it is inevitable the odd blight slips through their screening net. It is true she might never have succumbed, and that the essence itself was the cause. But that is irrelevant, really. Live your life, Navigator. Forget her. In scant days we shall be home and your family awaits you."
He smiled.
"And don't forget the feast Phidias has promised us."
Solonets nodded, kissed the priest's belt and backed from the vault. Graian was waiting outside, as Gabrius had told him.
"One thing I have to know," Solonets said. "The Lacrimata, where is it bound? The Adeptus Terror would never allow such a substance to pass hands in the free market, surely. Who commissioned its purchase?"
Graian Phidias scratched his neck, wrinkled his nose uncomfortably.
"Well, Guido Palama is indentured to one department back on Terra. Just one. The dispersal of the perfume, the true Lacrimata, is rigorously controlled."
"Who brought it, Grin?" He sighed.
"The Inquisition."
Solonets laughed. "I should have known. An instrument of torture."
"Hardly a matter for humour."
"You think not? We live in a universe of contradictions, my friend. To our continual delight. Now I suggest we repair to the Camera Recreta to toast our fair Terror when she reveals herself to the heavens." "The Inquisition," he shook his head.
"You look better, Solonets," Phidias said bleakly.
The Navigator was already striding away up the passageway. He flung a remark over his shoulder.
"Just a reprieve, my friend. Just a reprieve."
Thanks very much for watching, everybody. You can see your names going by here if you're one of the supporters of the channel. Lads, I really appreciate it. It really means a lot. If your name isn't on here, it will be added eventually. It just depends when I happen to make the video, if you've become a supporter recently. But thanks again. It means a lot. This is an interesting one. Nice bit of chaos, corruption, which I think is a nice touch. And stuff you don't hear much about. And it's nice to hear sort of personal relationships between people now that would function. I like these old Hammer stories. They have a lot more depth than a lot of the newer stuff.
It's really good. It's really good. About just the culture of the Imperium, you know? It's interesting. So please remember to subscribe. Do like the video. Let me know in the comments what you think. Got more stuff coming soon, so do stay tuned. And, again, make sure you're subscribed. Give me a like. I appreciate it. It really helps the channel. And, if you'd like to support the channel, there's links below. Otherwise, I'll see you next time. Thanks very much again. Bye-bye. Cheers.